Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Census Technologies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Consensus. I'm your host today, Amy Shawdroff, and right now we are honored to be joined by guest Hank Balch. He is the co-founder and president of Healthcare HQ. And Hank, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast.
I want to first thank the Census team for the invite and a little bit of background. I started my sterile processing career in 2009 in Louisville, Kentucky. So this next year, 2025, HSPA is actually coming back home to Louisville. So they'll be meeting there in Kentucky next year. I started as a frontline tech with no background in healthcare. Actually, I was working it as a second shift stocker at Walmart. A stocker, not a stalker. I was putting groceries on the shelves, guys. And I had a buddy who was working. I think he was working in the deli maybe or something like that. And he helped a guy move. And the guy happened to be a supervisor at a sterile processing department there in town. And when my buddy left, I said, take me with you. I don't care where you're going. And that long story short, he got me a job there at the hospital doing sterile processing work. Again, I didn't really even know what the department was or how critical the role was in sterile processing to this mission of safe and, you know, sterile patient care that we commit to every day in SPD. But I started there in 2009. I originally was just here in the industry to get a job, put myself through grad school. Again, I was working second shift still in SPD, so shout out to all those second shifters out there. I ended up, like many of us, just falling in love with the vision of fighting dirty. If you fast forward from 2009 to 2017, that summer, I had just run for president of what was then ISHM, which is now HSPA, and I lost the election. So I was sitting around that summer thinking, well, now what? What do I do? I want to change this industry. I want to impact this industry for good. I think I've got some ideas on how to do it, but I didn't really know what was next. And through LinkedIn, a guy who I had never met before, never heard of, messaged me and said, Hank, have you ever thought about starting a podcast in sterile processing? And the rest, as they say, is history. I said, yes, and we did. And that was the genesis of Beyond Clean and the platform that has grew out of that.
What a fascinating way to break into the sterile processing space. You are definitely an industry leader when it comes to supercharging sterile processing resources. And Census's vision is to be on the front lines of that charge utilizing artificial intelligence. Before we dive into the specifics of AI and sterile processing, some people might feel a bit apprehensive, right, about such advanced technology entering their workspace. What would you say to someone who feels intimidated or uncertain about using AI in their day-to-day role?
But those of you who have never played around with AI before, if you have fears, if you have concerns, if you have misconceptions, today I want to spend the next few minutes diving into that and hopefully removing the fears. I want to replace the fears or the misconceptions with excitement. It is an amazing world today in the artificial intelligence space. And I'm going to spend the next few moments, as I said, diving in not only to what that space is broadly, but in particular, the different intersections that AI is already touching the sterile processing environment. Good news, you don't need to understand how AI works to use AI. Don't believe me? This guy doesn't understand all the technical background, right? I'm not a data scientist. I'm definitely not an AI scientist. I'm not, in fact, any kind of scientist. I'm kind of technically liberal arts background with a little bit of agriculture, right? And I ended up here in SPD. So the science side is beyond me, but the potential side, the excitement side, the creative side, that's what I've gotten really jazzed about. And I think you too will become excited about it the more that you see, hey, I can use this in my day-to-day career in SPD.
Hank, you've talked about AI's potential to revolutionize sterile processing, but how do you see it fitting into the broader workflow, and what kind of role does it play in the SPD space?
No matter what other kinds of systems you're using, whatever kind of equipment, whatever your job title is, I think there's AI application up and down the career ladder, from experienced to non, student, intern, all the way up to director in an AVP role. You can use AI creatively and powerfully today. So I'm going to try to prove that by the end of this session. All right. So what was the answer to who is the hero of the Lord of the Rings? If you're like, Hank, I've never even heard of that. What is that? So that's a famous book by a guy named J.R.R. Tolkien. It's actually a series of books. And that's where, if you've ever heard of like hobbits, that's where we get the hobbit idea from. And they turned them into movies now. So if you haven't read the book, maybe you've seen the movies out there. I want to say Peter Jackson directed the movies. But if you're looking at the Lord of the Rings on the surface level, you may think, and I've seen a lot of these answers here, you may think that the hero is Frodo. Okay, because Frodo is kind of the main character. Okay, a lot of it is around Frodo, at least on kind of the later ones. It starts actually with the Bilbo, I guess, his grandfather. But the actual hero is Samwise Gamgee. So Samwise, let me tell you just real quick. Frodo is the little guy, and I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen the movies or the books, okay? So this is not a spoiler alert. But, you know, Frodo is tasked with doing something with this magical ring that he finds. But the wizard, Gandalf, knows that even though Frodo has a lot of characteristics that he needs to accomplish this task, he needs a friend, a wise, faithful, persistent, brave, courageous friend to be there with him and to make sure that he accomplishes his task and goal at the end of their journey, right? So I'm not going to spoil it again, but I want you to take away from this Samwise Gamgee. So he's a little hobbit guy, right? He's not the main character, but he's going to help that main character get all the way to accomplish his goal. In some sense, I'm arguing today that's what AI is and can be and should be for sterile processing. It's not the main thing. The main thing in SPD, you and me, it's the people. It's the people in the trenches with the beating hearts, with creative minds, with passion, with drive. We're the ones that care. A computer is never going to care in the way that a human is, right? We are the main characters in this sterile processing drama. Same thing with the patients. However, we've got a very complicated mission. We don't have enough resources. It's dangerous for us and for the patients sometimes. And we've now got a little friend called AI, who is becoming more and more powerful every day. And it can help us get there from point A to point B in small ways, in big ways. It can remind us of things. It can help streamline things. We'll get into some of those nuances here. But it's never going to be the main character.
Hank, I love the analogy of AI as Samwise Gamgee, always the loyal supporter, never the main character, right? It's an encouraging perspective. For those in sterile processing who might still have doubts, could you delve deeper into how AI is transforming day-to-day tasks in SPD? And what type of challenges is it designed to tackle, and which aspects will always rely on the human touch?
So let's get into the meat here. The question everyone always asks anytime we talk about robotics, automation, and now artificial intelligence, is AI going to take my SPD job? Well, yes. But Hank, you were just saying, this is the Samwise Gamgees, right? This is not He's not Frodo. He's not the main event, right? Yes. And that's why there's going to be a little bitty asterisk on that. Yes. AI is coming. I mean, it's already here. As you see, the stats are already starting to show this adoption of artificial intelligence on a daily basis in sterile processing. Did you just see nearly 10%? We got 8%, right? But just like another percentage and some change would bring us to nearly 1 in 10 of you guys are already on a daily basis using AI, and the stats probably a lot higher that are on like a weekly basis, right? It's already here. Here's the little caveat, okay? I'm not going to make you wait much longer, but I want this to kind of sit on you for a second, because that's the fear. Is it going to take my job? Well, the real question is it going to take away many of the things that I hate about my job? Yes. Okay. If you've got a little emoji reaction thing here, this is when you clap, smile, and heart. Yes. Yes. AI is going to take away a lot of the things that you hate about your sterile processing job. And what I mean by that, and I've got this next slide to kind of highlight it here. So there's a couple of angles and comments that folks have. I got this actually from the guys over at RIF Robotic, Kevin DeMarco, Sergio, and Colin. They put this in the category of dull, dirty, and dangerous. Now, they're using that in the context of robotics and automation. I'm using it in the context of artificial intelligence. So what is AI going to take away from our jobs in SPD? Eventually, and already in some sense, it's going to take the dull things away from our jobs. Who likes doing dull work in SPD? Nobody. I've never met anybody who's just like, give me the dullest stuff, the mind-numbing projects. That's what I want to do. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, maybe on occasion, like if you got a lot of stuff going on and you just want to come into work and kind of zone out, I get it. But every single day, do you want to be doing the dull things? No. That's not why any of us signed up to do this work. We signed up because it's exciting. Every day is different. There's thousands of different kinds of instruments. All the workflow is different. It's a team, right? It's the opposite of dull. Dirty. Now, yeah, one of the surprises for new people coming into SPD is how dirty this job actually is, okay? The title of the department is sterile processing, and then they take the little tour, and we take them through prep and pack, and we take them through storage, and they're like, oh, yeah, I can do this. Dress in scrubs, you know, got PPE, everything's great. And then we're like, okay, and now we're going to show you where decontam is. And then their eyes get real big like saucers, and they're like, what? I mean, I got to get, like, that close to blood and to bone and debris and body tissue and everything else. Like, I'm all up in it. Yes. Very dirty job. AI, in some sense, not exclusively, but it's going to help us reduce a lot of the dirty things about our job. Eventually, this kind of goes into the robotic part of the equation, too, that I kind of alluded to. Dangerous things about our job. And I just mentioned, hey, if it's dirty, if you get exposure while something is dirty, that equates directly to now you're in the danger zone. If you get a stick in decontam, it's a little scarier than if you get a stick on the prep and pack side, right? Or if you get a stick, it's like if you're opening up a sterile tray, for instance, it's still not good. It's an incident, but it's a lot scarier the earlier on in this reprocessing cycle that you get. So AI, the potential is to take these dull, dirty, and dangerous things and help us to complete them in a way that is safe for us and more efficient for our department. However, there are things about our job and our industry that AI ain't gonna touch. And what it's not gonna touch is the you and me factor, is the human factor. There's a lot of things that I'm gonna go through here. Even the things that AI can do today, it still can't do that well. So there's kind of this balance. AI is so powerful. It's more powerful than you and I could ever give it credit for. It can do some amazing, mind-boggling, mind-blowing things. It also gets the most basic things wrong sometimes. If you played around with AI, especially in the earlier days, it could do what's called hallucinate, which means you would ask it a question, and then it would kind of go and basically make up an answer. It sounded good, but it was technically hallucinating, and the answer actually wasn't based on fact or any reality, right? So I just want to say there's a number of things that AI is going to help us to do, like Samwise, but there's a lot of things that it's never going to do. It's never going to become the main event in SPD, because we need people in those roles to make the critical thinking, to make the judgment calls for the communication side of it, for the creative side of improving the process. We got a long way to go. Now, let me tell you just a little quick story on why this is true, okay? The creators of many of these AI technologies, we'll just use the CEO of ChatGPT, Sam Altman. In the early days of AI, they were sure that the first industries that AI was going to disrupt was going to be the blue-collar industries, okay? Because they're like, hey, those are the simple jobs, right? We're going to come in and we're going to expedite, we're going to drive efficiencies, we're going to automate all of this through AI. Because my dad used to say the difference between a blue-collar worker and a white-collar worker is the blue-collar worker will shower after they get home from work, and the white-collar will shower before they go into work. And now, that's not, you know, completely true all the way around, but I thought it's an interesting dynamic, right? But what the AI developers found out is when they went to implement into these blue-collar roles, they realized, oh, man, these things are way more complex than outside looking in that we give them credit for. So what happened is they pulled back from the blue collar space and they began deploying AI tools for the white collar space. So these are in areas such as marketing, in law, in accounting, any area that can work with spreadsheets or a lot of writing or like really highly regulated that you can put the rules in for the industry and then have AI spit out the answers for you, right? That's where AI right now is really excelling and growing. And SPD, as you and I know, extremely physical job, very human oriented. It's very complex. And so this is going to be one of the challenges for AI, quite frankly, coming in. It's going to cause it to be quite a bit delayed in the introduction to our departments as compared to many of the other kind of roles and responsibilities out there, both inside and outside of healthcare.
For many people, the idea of using AI can still feel overwhelming, especially if they've never worked with it before. What are some ways they can start small and get comfortable with AI, even outside of the tools provided at work?
Typically, when people hear AI, when you're talking about it in the context of your job, you're thinking about products and subscriptions or programs that you're going to be using that your hospital is paying for. Okay. That's what I call corporate AI. So these are tools or subscriptions or, you know, whatnot that's kind of that your boss pays for, your hospital pays for, and then you use when you clock into work. But you don't necessarily have access to that tool when you go home. I'm not going to be talking about corporate AI today. There's a ton of great tools. It's highly powerful. It can do a lot of amazing things. But I want to talk to you about consumer AI. That's the second category, because I believe if you get comfortable with consumer AI and what's potential not only potential, like what's currently possible with consumer AI, the more comfortable that you get when you come back and you clock into work and now you've got corporate AI tools at your disposal, you're going to be way more confident and competent in how these AI tools can interact with your day-to-day challenges that you're confronting in sterile processing. So yes, I'm going to talk about some AI tech and tools, but it's primarily going to be on the consumer side. All right, the big one I've already alluded to ChatGPT. If you know anything about AI, if you've heard anything about any AI tools, you probably the one that you've probably heard of is ChatGPT. This is a program. It's a subscription. I think they do maybe still have a free version that's up right now. It's published through a company called OpenAI. And then one of their tools or modules is called ChatGPT. Now, because we're doing a virtual event today, I'm going to give you permission to open up another window or tab if you can at your hospital. Your hospital might have ChatGPT blocked in the same way that sometimes those firewalls will block YouTube or like other social media networks or whatever. If you're blocked, that's okay. You can also, at least on your Apple phone, you can download the ChatGPT app on your phone. I don't know about Android. Either way, if you want to go to ChatGPT on your computer, right now, you can like still listen in, kind of click over as I'm going through some of this stuff. Or if you want to download it quickly on your phone, just to play around as we're walking through here. Now, you don't have to do it now if you want to just kind of take some notes. Or if you're watching this after the fact, you can kind of pause and then go back through. But I really want you to get in the sandbox, if you can, to see what I'm talking about. You're only going to be able to consume so much just by watching me here today. All right, so ChatGPT is through OpenAI. If you go and Google OpenAI ChatGPT, then it'll get you to the website. Like I said, there should be a free version out there. If not, I think it's a $20 subscription or something per month.
So when it comes to managing the day-to-day challenges in SPD, what are some practical ways that AI tools like ChatGPT can assist with some common SPD challenges?
You want to, because so do I. How do you calculate FTEs in SPD? Anybody ever had that question as a new manager or even as an old manager who just never had to do it before? Well, bring the question to ChatGPT and let's see what it says. So it dives in and it says, hey, number one, determine your total worked hours. Then understand your metrics for the workload. Calculate your required staff hours. Determine your FTE. And FTE is typically considered the hours worked by one employee on a full-time basis. Okay, and it's going into details here. And then it gives you the formula. Okay, it equals total worked hours plus non-productive time divided by your full-time hours per week, and actually gives you an example. Just in case you're a little rough on math like I am, it's like, hey, if your SPD requires 1,000 hours of worked hours per week, it will assume 20% non-productive time, and then boom, 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 boom. This is another one. If you're just kind of curious, you can screenshot this and play around with it later. But FTE is critically important. Anybody who's a manager and ever had to advocate for more staff, what you're advocating is your FTE count. And if you don't understand or can't make that argument correctly or aggressively, you're not going to get the staff approval. Your Samwise Gamgee of your AI tool can come alongside and say, I can help you with that. All right, let's go on. I'm a sterile processing manager. Now, I'm giving more information to this ChatGPT. This is different from Google, right? Like we kind of go in Google and we're like, what's the least I can ask Google and it try to figure it out? You want to try to do the opposite with your ChatGPT, your other AI tools. You want to try to come in and give them as much information as you can, okay? I'm a sterile processing manager. I'm having issues completing all of our workload tray assembly by 7 a.m. the following morning. What are some potential areas for me to dig into to identify some root causes? Now, let me just stop here. You're asking an AI computer that doesn't know you from Adam. It's never worked a day of SPD in its life. And Hank is sitting here telling you that you can ask it this and you're going to get something that's worth reading. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. That's how powerful this is. So I'm not getting all my trades done at 7 a.m. Extremely common problem out there in the industry. Let's see what AI would tell us to do. Okay. This is where you should dig in to identify why you're not getting it done. Look at your staffing levels, in particular, your shift allocation, when people are staffed. Take a look at your workflow and your processing efficiency. Look at your equipment availability and utilization. Is there adequate equipment to meet the processing demands? What about number four, your instrument availability? Okay. It goes on. Number five, are there any issues with availability of necessary consumables? Is that what's slowing you down? Training and competency. Is the staff adequately trained? Some of this is basic, right? You're like, hey, duh. Okay. If you're not getting it done, I know AI, duh. Some of it is so simple maybe that it's easy to miss. When you're sitting down and you got this fire in front of you at 7 a.m., you call in your Samwise GMG and say, hey, help me think through this. Communication coordination. Maybe you got breakdowns between your shifts and the priorities are not being handed off appropriately. It continues. Quality assurance and control. Time and motion studies. Is that something that we need to do to figure out where we're losing time? Is the staff engaged? Are we soliciting feedback? 10 answers. All of this from this just computer brain out there that you throw out your problem in SPD and it gives you up on a silver platter 10 fantastic ideas. And you can take as the human, because you know your department, and then go forward to start deploying some of these questions or getting answers to some of these questions. Okay. Another really common issue. How can I ensure my staff is brushing every instrument and decontamination? Have you ever had that issue? Okay. What does it say? Well, start with training education. Conduct regular training. Use visual aids, going back to the visual aid part that we started here. Standardize your protocols. Is there a standard way to brush? Is there a standard process to process to decontaminate each one of your trays? Or is everyone just kind of do it their own way? Quality control metrics. Are you doing regular checks and audits? Are you using your tracking system, hint, 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 to monitor instrument cleaning cycles and staff adherence to brushing protocol? Are you soliciting feedback and continuously improving? Adequate resources. Do you even have the brushes back there, guys? Not to get off topic, but hey, if they're not brushing, have you ever stopped and gone back there and say, do we have the right number of brushes? Are they accessible at the sink? Are they the right size of brushes for all of our devices? Really basic stuff that AI kind of put its head up and said, hey, think about this. And then again, you got the visual guides and you got that staff empowerment and that accountability piece, all for the brushing. Okay. What are some short phrases I can use to tell my SPD staff when they see risks in our process? Okay. Completely random question, but one that you've probably had if you're a technician, if you're an educator. If someone sees something dangerous, what can they say that's gonna not be offensive or not be problematic to kind of bring up in the workflow to basically stop the line? And it spits out like 5 seconds. This list of 10. Now, this is 5 on this page. I'll go to the next page here in a second. I need a clarification. This seems unsafe. Hey, can we double check that? Let's review the guideline. I observe a discrepancy. Probably wouldn't use that one. It's a little too cold and scientific. Hey, Johnny, is there a better way to do this? And then we'll skip down. To number 9, I really like this one. Hey, this does not match our training. Like, I saw you put that thing in the ultrasonic, but you didn't connect the flushing ports. That doesn't match what we were trained to do. Is there a reason that you're doing it that way? Love it. 10, could this impact patient safety? Love it. Great question, AI. Thank you very much. Can I have some more? Yes. I suggest we pause and assess. Again, probably not going to use that one, but a good insight nonetheless. Number 15, probably one of the basics, but hey, I'm concerned about what you just did, or have a concern about this, right? Just great basic nuance, insight, perspective on your day-to-day stuff that you don't have to call your boss, you don't have to call your mentor, you don't even have to call your friend across the street in the SPD. You can go to ChatGPT in the moment in less than 5 seconds and say, this is my problem. What are some ideas to deal with it? Okay, in the interest of time, we're going to blow through a couple more of these. Books. Who has time to read these days? If you're a book nerd like my wife, like, she makes time and she zooms through books. I don't know how she does it. I, on the other hand, I love books. I don't have a lot of time to read, so I listen to a lot of books. Or now, you can go to ChatGPT or other AI tools and say, hey, here's a book. I want to do a teaching through it with my leadership team in my department. I don't have time to read it. Can you give me 3 actionable steps that I can share with my sterile processing team? Boom. Spits it out. What's an example of a sterile processing checklist that would be worth creating that's pulling from this book? Boom. Spits it out. I want to read this for the next 12 months. Can you give me a lesson plan to go through it in the next 12 months? Boom. Spits it out. You can do it not with any book, but you can do it with some of the more common books out there that AI is going to already have in its brain.
Would you say ChatGPT is the only platform that really facilitates these kinds of solutions for SPD? Or are there other AI tools out there doing the same thing, or maybe that you would recommend?
So there's Llama just came out. Facebook Meta just came out with the Llama AI. There's Grok through Twitter. There's Bard through Google. There's Claude that we're going to talk about here. And then, of course, there's ChatGPT. And again, a million others.
As we wrap up today's episode, we've seen how AI tools are already making a big impact in SPD. But the big question is, what's next? Where do you see AI taking us in the future? And how should we be preparing for the changes that are coming?
So the question is, what's next? Where is AI taking us? The answer is, we don't know. AI doesn't know. Nobody on the AI side, like production side, knows. Like, there's competing interest in the AI development world. We don't know where it's taking us, but I'll tell you this right now. If you're in SPD, whatever your role, your title, your perspective, your skill set, your comfortability with technology, please, please, please know that AI is going and it's taking SPD with it. And it's either going to take you with it, and you could right now, if you want to be, become the tip of the spear to go proactively into that wilderness of AI SPD intersection and start exploring and learning and using and training and sharing. Or you could be drug kicking and screaming along, but you're coming no matter what.
Before we wrap up the podcast today, where can people find you and get in touch with you, Hank?
If you want to connect with me, I'm all over LinkedIn, Hank Balch on LinkedIn. You can shoot me a message at hank@beyondclean.net.
Well, that wraps up the conversation for today. Thank you, Hank, for joining us. We really appreciated having you on this episode of Consensus Today. As always, if you want to learn more, please visit census.com and look for this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I've been your host, Amy Shadroff. Thanks for tuning in.